see from Cam that maybe looks different than what you guys saw last year?
You know, Cam is really, it does jump out at you, the progression he's made over his career. And this year, he's really running the offense at a high rate right now. He's, you know, you're going to get your runs from him, which is unique to the NFL. You're going to get about 8 to 10 runs from him that you have to prepare for. But probably more impressively is how he's kind of settled into the passing game. He's not making the mistakes. He's taking what you give him, and he's moving the ball a little bit. And he did a great job on the last drive of Seattle.
Are most of his runs designed?
On first and second down, they are. I think he makes more of his scrambles on third down.
You spied him last year when he was less than 100%. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I think no matter what percentage he is, you spy him.
Yeah, I mean, is that pretty much the foregone?
Well, you move in and out of it. You can't just sit in a three-man rush all day and spy him. You want to go four and fives, and you just have to be real disciplined that you're blitzing as a group and people are in the spot they're supposed to be in, because even the blitzers are designed to have a nice little pocket that we keep them in. But he's such a playmaker, you know, you have to plan at keeping him in there, but the athleticism kicks in, and then it's about a bunch of effort trying to get him and taking good angles, and he's going to make his plays. Athletes like that make their plays, and we have to keep it to a minimum.
Well, he's the first dual-threat quarterback that you've faced this year, and obviously you've had a lot of continuity up front, but is it more challenging the first time you face one of these guys in a season?
Yeah, the bonus that we have is what we practice against all offseason. So the read option, the triple option, all the different variations of the run game that they have, we at least as a defense work on it and have the conversations in the offseason. Now, we haven't had it in 6 weeks, so we've got to dust those conversations off and focus on it. But it helps us in that sense that it's not brand new to us. Like a lot of NFL teams I've been with, all of a sudden you hit this offense and it's a brand new conversation that you didn't have in the offseason. So at least we've had it in the offseason.
I think that was Barwin's job last year. It's fine. What makes him good in that role?
Well, we mix it up, Zach. We don't try to just let him know what. But Connor's a good, big athlete. So the one thing about Cam is you can spy him and run with him, but then can you tackle him because he's so big. So Connor's got a good mix of size and speed and athleticism and his good matchup. So we did spy him last year with Connor, and it was because of how big he is.
Bill, Cam is on pace to be sacked the fewest times in his career. I think the offensive line has really played every single game together. Do you think the continuity of the line is really helping the situation?
Yeah, they are, and it's a little bit different line. I think there's only two guys from the offensive line that we faced last year. So they've got some new faces in there. They do a great job of protecting him. I think he's got a better feel of the protections. You know, as you move, I think Mike Shula does a great job and has done a great job bringing him on. And the O-line is again, we talk about it a lot of weeks, but when an O-line can play together and they kind of play as one unit, you kind of count the O-line as one position, not five individuals. These guys are playing well together, and they're very strong in a run game. I mean, you get 32 rushes per game. They're number one in the NFL at the attempt. I think they're three or four in the rush yards. I think 133, but it's because old linemen can move people, and that's going to be a big challenge for us.
What inside linebackers do you anticipate having in practice?
Well, we're going to test the waters with Michael and Kiko there. They're going to get a little bit, and it's just kind of saying, okay, where are we? So they'll get out there a little bit this week. Don't really anticipate them. It's a day-to-day thing, so hopefully they surprise me, but I don't know if they will. The key thing is them getting healthy and getting healthy at the right pace, and their body will allow them to.
What sort of challenge does Greg Olsen present?
Excuse me?
What sort of challenge does Greg Olsen present?
He's probably one of the best pass receiving tight ends in the league, and he is a big target of theirs. He runs great routes. He's a primary in a lot of their route patterns, he's playing at a high level, and Cam's, that's kind of his comfort zone, getting it to him and finding him, and you throw it anywhere near him, he catches it. So he's really hitting his stride and is one of their top targets.
Billy, how does Jordan Hicks compare to some of the other rookies that you've coached as far as picking things up as quickly as he has?
He's up there at the top of the list. He really is. He's been a surprise, but you never know when you get a rookie. You know, you have an intelligent, and we knew when we drafted him, he was a highly intelligent, high football IQ, good athlete, solid inside backer. What you don't know is how they respond to the NFL games. And a lot of times that's where they kind of hit a wall. And even though you have a smart guy, it takes him a year or two to be able to do it on Sundays when it's going fast. And Jordan, the piece that's kind of very, it's not surprising, but it's exciting that on game day, he's as calm as a veteran.
Does he remind you of anyone that you've coached before?
Not in a veterans. He reminds me of veterans, but not so much a rookie. Most rookies – are kind of in that backup role and don't shine like he's done so far.
Hey, Bill, on that Carroll interception, did he have outside zone there, or did he just jump the pick?
No, we actually sat in a two-deep zone. We hadn't run it all year, and we knew because of their quick game that we wanted to throw some cover two in there, the hard zone cover two. And, you know, Eli's right. He saw mostly two-man from us the whole time, and then right about that time in the game, we put the hard two in, and the guys have been working hard at it all week, and Corey and the guys did a great job of ruling out all the quick game, and he threw it right into where we were hoping he would. So we stole one there, and it was fun to have the plan work that way.
Carroll did have to jump switch really fast to get out there.
Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, it's the way we read it, it kind of starts as a man, but then as two goes out, Malcolm did a great job of hollering, out, 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 because Nolan couldn't visually see it. So he's yelling out, 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 and Nolan knows to drop it then, and the safety's over the top of the number one, and Nolan did, you know, just stepped right in and made a big play for us.
As far as the turnovers concerned, I mean, you guys, I think, are second in the NFL getting them. And I know you get asked this quite a bit, but, like, are you kind of surprised with how many you guys have been getting so far?
It is a high number. I mean, we're in the top, I think, three in the NFL in taking it away. But it's something we focus on. And we don't focus on a lot, but we really, this year, we said our turnovers, we're going for three a game, and we're going to work hard on tackling and get our tackling better. And I think I'm probably more excited about the tackling we've been doing. You know, 2 weeks ago in the Saints, those two running backs have been breaking tackles at a league record, and they didn't break any on us. So we continue to focus on tackling, and turnovers are a big emphasis. Now, we have a huge challenge in Carolina because they're not turning the ball over. I think they're under one per game. So that's going to be a big part of the equation here is if we can you know, tackle well, because it's a, you know, it's a big boy game where they're running 32 times a game. We're going to have to tackle well and try to create the turnovers, which is going to be tough on this team.
D'Amico's going to be out there today, Bill?
I don't know if D'Amico's out today. I think we may rest him today. He's another day-to-day guy, but knowing D'Amico, the way he handles injuries, I mean, you expect him back because he is a warrior in that category.
And Michael and Kiko, I guess you factor in the fact that the bye's coming up.
Yeah, it's not so much to buy, because every week we need as many hands on deck as we can get. So if they can go, they will go. But it's just a matter of their body and how, you know, where they are. You know, first is them healthy and getting back the way the rest of the season. But if they can go, they'll go.
Bill, how much of fumble recoveries, you know, something from tackling and something you can sort of design and plan, and how much of it is just random luck?
Well, we work on it at least once a week. We have a big turn, and we have three pieces of that. We have how to strip a carrier, how to attack the quarterback when he has the ball, and then how to recover a fumble. And we talk about it a lot, the art of recovering a fumble. And the hardest part, Les, is when you're on the bottom of the pile keeping the ball when the scrum's happening. And those guys are doing a great job. And it matters how you're laying. Are you laying on your side or on your back? You know, we teach you how to get in the fetal position on your side. It helps protect the ball. So there's a bunch of little things that go into recovering that fumble and holding on to it after the scrum happens.
Chip was singing Biggers' praises yesterday. He said he allows you the opportunity to do some things call-wise. Can you expand on that?
Well, what EJ brings is a great quickness and speed, and then his intelligence. Again, we're doing a great job of bringing guys with high football IQs into the building, and what he allows is he can play corner, nickel, or dime for us at any given snap. So in every game plan, we can go into it with him and Malcolm, both can switch. Now, Malcolm could play anything, but EJ's got the corner, nickel, and dime spots down, which is a little bit different for an offense in their identification and their protection, so that screws with them a little bit. And then the fact that he can go in and out of that helps us schematically and who we want to take away, who we give help to. So EJ's been a real big addition.
Vinny Curry got some pressure in the last game, I think a sack and a half. What have you seen from him this year? I know he's kind of moving around positions a little bit, but what have you seen from him?
Yeah, we threw Vinny outside wide a little bit with injuries hit us, but Vinny is always an explosive, gap penetrating. When it's a passing situation, Vinny is disruptive every time. Now, he hasn't had the sack numbers till this game, but those sack numbers are coming for him. Anybody that has that kind of disruption in the passing game is someone who'll continue to do that. So I was glad to see Vinny get some sack numbers. I don't personally judge anybody by their sack numbers. I want to know how many times they're taking a double team, how many times they're moving a quarterback off the spot. What is the technique in the pass rush? Is he doing what we're trying to do collectively as a four-man pass rush? And Vinny's always right up there with us. He's had a great season. Just the sack numbers, and they'll come. But he's a solid. You know, I love seeing him out there and rushing that passer and, and disrupting a quarterback, because he makes a difference.
You gave Marcus Smith 12 snaps. How did he grade out?
He was good. He really was. Marcus has taken steps in the right direction. Again, that game went to all three wide receiver sets, which kind of takes us out of two outside backers in the game, which limits, you know, we'd like to get him when he's active, 20 to 25. But because of how the game went, but he graded out fine. He's solid. He didn't make any big plays, but he was doing what he's supposed to do.
Since the middle of the 2013 season, it's been the same three on the defensive line. At what point did you realize that's a group that had something that could be special?
You know, early on, they once they learned the two gap and how Az teaches it, and really the fundamentals, and they rep it every day. You see them on the sled, and then in a game, I always look at the wall we create. Defensively, they're like, they're not blockers. They get off and make more plays. See, most people think two gap just eat up the block and the backers make the play. Our guys not only strike and read the run, but they shed as well as anybody. And I think that's the component that you see over and over again. You'll see all of them in a head on this side, they'll shed and they'll come off and make tackles in the core. So not only are they building a wall, not moving back, but they're able to shed, throw and go and make the tackle. And probably late in the first season, second half of the first season, and then all that, you knew what you had because they're strong and they work hard at it.
Does Az give these guys more sled work than most positions?
Absolutely. I've been places where a sled is in a corner that nobody ever uses it, ever. Training camp, and it's rusty and got cobwebs on it. Ours won't get that way. Ours break every other day because how much they use it. But it's a great way that doesn't wear the player out. You know, most guys go player to player when they work on those things, and you wear the players out. So this is a way that we can get better at what we do and really save the players' hands and wrists and all that. So it's a great thing.
What was the miscommunication on the Beckham touchdown?
They motioned empty, and what happened was originally D'Amico had help, and he was playing outside leverage with inside help, and then the motion empty happened, and Chris left him to help over on the empty side, and D'Amico still thinking he had help, was playing outside leverage, thinking, and I even from the box I thought we had it, where that slant was coming, I thought Chris Maragos was going to step into it, but they had changed, and he was actually helping on their number one with Nolan. So it was tough because we would have liked to keep that to a field goal, but the communication, it was, and then we fixed it right away, and it was clear, but those things happen in the game, and I love the way our guys respond, to be honest with you. I've been in a lot of places where those miscommunications happen and people turn on each other and there's a huge argument. And our guys are really together. It's a tight unit because they knew a mistake was made and everyone was real mad that the touchdown happened. Got to the sideline. We figured it out. We solved it, and it didn't happen again, and it won't happen again. But it's a really a testament to the camaraderie we have and the chemistry we have on defense right now.
What made you pick that number, the goal of three turnovers?
It's the top of the league. We really are setting our goals at you know, what's the best that can happen in a league and all our goals in the turnovers at three. Most people will be, hey, let's get one a game. You know, let's get two. Well, we go into three, and can we get there? And the guys have been we're almost hitting that mark.
Just following up on what you were just saying, where do you think that comes from, that, you know, a lot of teams kind of, you see the bickering, you guys throwing their arms up and all that stuff. Where does it come from?
Mental toughness. Mentally tough teams win the most games in the NFL. My whole career, if you have a group, a lot of times that's a veteran group because they're usually the mentally toughest, they've been through the most. But when your team is mentally tough and can take a punch, you know, with that first drive, a lot of the, oh, my God, they fall apart. We didn't. We had a lot of mistakes in that drive. We fixed them all and settled down. And our guys are at that place now where, you know, can you lose a game like the Washington game? You know, that hurt a lot because we wanted to step up and win that game, and we didn't. Now, can you take that punch and come back to work and still believe in yourselves? And the guys did. And after that, you know, we played a solid Washington game, but not a good last drive. So now we've backed it up with two solid games. And now the challenge is, can we hold serve? Can we keep at this level, you know, this week? It's all about this week, and can we sustain it? And the mentally tough group can.
Bill, yesterday Chip was talking about the continuity of having guys in this defense now for a third year, especially up front, and with the way the secondary has come together. Is this the most comfortable, maybe the most trust you've had with the scheme and the players orchestrating it?
Yeah, when you're in your third year, the guys that have been here 3 years, you really can grow it, and the guys own it. They start owning it themselves. It's their defense. They know the tools. They know the answer to the problem. You know, they're doing this. Hey, coach, we'll just go to this front, or we'll go to this stun, or coach, we'll go to this coverage tool. That's when ownership happens, is when you really take the step of being real strong as a defense. And the secondary, although we have some new pieces, Those guys are hard-working, high football IQ guys that have a great understanding of it, and that's why you don't see guys running free through the zone. Even when we have a miscommunication, you got guys that are at least covering it up and understand the scheme. So hopefully we're getting better, and we've got a lot of growth to do in the second half of the season to make sure that all those things come together. But, we're excited about it. We've got a long way to go, and we can get a lot better with tightening everything down.
Two more guys.
Bill, you were in Carolina a couple stops ago.
Yeah.
When that team went there, people said, this is a college area, football, basketball, everything, and maybe because roots of professional football weren't as deep as like a place like this. Did that develop over time there? Have you gotten a sense that that team is really rooted there?
Yeah, I was there in the expansion year, so yeah. We were at the beginning. Everybody was a Washington Redskins fan. That's what the area was. So there was a lot of NFL football fans. They were just Redskins fans. And then the city has grown. I mean, it's a great city, great place to live. And it's grown a lot. And it's I think a lot of people are coming out of college and going to find work. You know, it's just beautiful weather. It's a growing city. I think banking is a big industry down there. But the football team hadn't gone to a Super Bowl. And, I mean, they've had some success there. So I think it's grown immensely since I was there. And that was, 95, I think. All right, guys, thanks.